There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Tuesday afternoon, October the 27th, we continue with the series we do every week with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller responding to evangelical cliches. The cliche today, there's a God-shaped hole in your heart. Now that's a picture. It paints a picture for you that there's a place, like a just a perfect little hole in your heart that's shaped like God, and the only thing that will fill your heart and make it complete is God. You're born with a God-shaped hole in your heart. How many times have you heard that said, and what does that really mean? Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is our guest. He's pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado. He's co-host of a weekly radio talk show called Table Talk Radio, editor of Around the Word Devotions, and host of a video series, Grappling with the Text. Brian, welcome back.
Thank you.
All right. We were kind of looking at this. These things evolve. One cliche kind of flows out of another one. The last time we were talking about, you mentioned this God-shaped hole in your heart. Can you explain what that's supposed to mean? What's the picture it's trying to paint?
Well, I think there's a right way to understand that, and then there's the evangelical way to understand it. And I think what the evangelical means when they talk about the God-shaped hole in their heart this is the picture. You are unsatisfied. You go around chasing the wind and trying to have some sort of satisfaction in life, some sort of completeness. And you do not have it. You're not happy. You don't have a sense of completeness. You are not satisfied with yourself and this life. And the reason is because there's something missing. You know, your life is like a puzzle, but there's one piece. And you know, that's the worst when you put together a puzzle and there's one piece that's missing. And now you get to be grumpy for the rest of the week. Now that's you, unbeliever. And if you would just fill in that gap with Jesus, then you will be happy, and your life will be complete.
So it's a picture of you're almost complete. You're the jigsaw puzzle with only one piece missing. It's all you need, and then you'll be complete. You're mostly complete.
Yeah, that's right. Now that's the idea, and the way this is preached, especially pushing towards evangelism, is that you've tried to satisfy your needs. You've tried to give yourself a good life by boozing, by chasing after guys or girls, or both. Who knows now? Or whatever sort of hedonistic pursuits you've engaged in, and it still comes up empty, kind of Solomon-esque, you know, in Ecclesiastes. It comes up empty, and that's because you have not pursued God. You have not tried Him. You've not given Him a chance to satisfy you and make you complete. And if you do, then you will experience a satisfaction in life like you've never known.
Okay, so what's the right way of understanding it?
Well, the right way, I think, would be something like St. Augustine said in his Confessions. He introduces his Confessions with this idea that our souls or our hearts are restless until we find rest in Thee, he says to the Lord. Or maybe even better would be Luther, who says that there's no country, there's no people that are so pagan that they don't have some form of worship. It is the idea that because we're created in God's image, we are created to worship, to have faith and trust and even fear in something that is greater than ourselves. And so there is a sense that our hearts are inclined to worship. Of course, we understand, though, sinfully, that we're inclined to worship all the wrong things. We're inclined to worship false gods. We're inclined to worship money, the most common idol in all the world. We're inclined to worship our own strength or even just ourselves. So we have that inclination to worship, but that is not a helpful instinct unless it's directed in repentance and faith towards Christ.
Okay, so I want to come to Augustine for a second here. I think there's a big distance between, Augustine saying, "O Lord, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you." I think it's a pretty big leap to say there's a God-shaped hole in my heart. You know, the missing puzzle piece to get that out of Augustine.
Well, yeah. In fact, I mean, they're saying the opposite things. You know, so Augustine's saying, "Look, Lord, you have created me such that apart from you, I'm empty and nothing at all." The evangelical is saying that God is almost there for me, and I become complete when I have Him. In other words, for evangelicalism, the gospel is turned into a way to benefit me. It's answering the question, how can my life be better? And if you start with a question, how can my life be better? It doesn't matter what answer you get; it's going to be a bad answer. It's the wrong place to start. There's this intrinsically individualistic and unfortunately selfish strain in American Christian thought, and the idea that God comes so that I can be satisfied, that God is meeting my needs, that I'm somehow discontent or uneasy with my life until the Lord comes along, and now he fills me up like I should be filled. This kind of this individualistic and self-centered view of the gospel is completely distorted.
I mean, it smacks almost of this notion of kind of the soulmate. Two people get married and they write their own vows and they're all sappy and saccharine. And, you know, one of them has to include something about how you complete me, you know.
That's right.
I was only half a man until I met you. Now you complete me.
Can you imagine saying that to Jesus? But that's the idea. You complete me. I've never had any satisfaction, and all, you know, I can't get no satisfaction until now Jesus comes along, and now I'm content and I'm happy. It is really, it's embarrassing. But there's this, and there's always a sense in American Christianity that you got to sell the gospel. So you have you have this kind of sloganeering where people will say, "Well, why don't you give Jesus a try?" You know, take Jesus out for a test drive, and you'll see how powerful of an engine he's got. Or, you know, I mean, it's this is crazy talk. But this is how oftentimes the Lord and His mercy, or the Lord and His truth, is presented in American evangelical churches, is that you got to give Jesus a try, and you'll discover that He works. You know, the drugs and the booze and the running around and the living like a fool, this doesn't work. But Jesus, it works, and you'll have a happy life if you fill the hole in your heart with Jesus.
I want to talk about, and you've hinted at it here, but to talk about, for lack of a better word, the anthropology kind of implicit in there's a God-shaped hole in your heart. It doesn't really. It actually seems to kind of blame God for my problem. He made me with a hole in my heart. He made me incomplete or something like that. And this seems to disregard my complicity in my rebellion against God. My heart doesn't just need to be filled up. It needs to be replaced. The biblical picture is not having your incomplete heart completed, but of having your heart of stone replaced with a human heart, a heart of flesh, a heart that is hardened against God. It doesn't have any holes. It's
right.
There's no place for God to fit. That's my real problem, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and you get to perhaps the biggest difference between American Christianity and the biblical truth, and that is it sees everything in law and gospel in terms of relationship, a kind of nearness and farness, and it's taken up into the idea of emotional satisfaction. So it's not a matter of sin and God's wrath. It's not a matter of being judged by God and that sin being atoned for, and the victory of the atonement being delivered and promised. That's not the idea for American Christianity. The idea is that you're far from God. You're wandering far from God. No fault of your own. It's just the condition that you find yourself in. I mean, maybe it's your fault. Maybe it's not. It doesn't matter. You're just far from God. And then when He comes near to you, or better, when you draw near to Him, now you've arrived. You've come to a point of satisfaction and emotional health. And in every way, anthropologically, like you talked about, our doctrine of man, our doctrine of Christ, our doctrine of redemption, our doctrine of sin, our doctrine of God's wrath, our doctrine of forgiveness, all of this is different. Because American Christianity puts it all in terms of relationship and the nearness and farness of our heart to God, or maybe even better, the experience of the nearness or farness of God to our heart. So it's not really even a matter of, am I near or far from God, but do I feel near or far from God?
Does the Bible teach that we are somehow incomplete before God? Is that all the deeper our problem goes?
Yeah, no, I mean, no. The Bible does talk about us being one with Christ or being in Christ and Christ in us, and you know, much less than it talks about, I mean, it talks about Christ being in our hearts once and Christ being in us a few times. It talks about us being in Christ. So that itself is a biblical picture, but it's never the idea of like, I'm almost there and I just need a little bit more. Like, I'm pretty good. I just need a little extra piece of divinity or a little touch from God to completely know. The Bible talks about me and you and sinners as completely corrupt and fallen. It's not that we're incomplete. We are God's enemies. We not only don't believe in Him, we by nature hate God. We don't. It's not even that we don't understand it. We don't want to. We are rebellious, and we are the born children of wrath, Paul says in Ephesians, and we deserve that wrath, every single bit of it. So that salvation is not God completing us, but God redeeming us.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is our guest. We'll have 10 more minutes with him on the other side of the break. We're responding to the evangelical cliche, there's a God-shaped hole in your heart, on this Tuesday afternoon, October the 27th. He's pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, co-host of a weekly radio talk show called Table Talk Radio, editor of Around the Word Devotions, and host of a video series called Grappling with the Text. When the Apostle Paul stated, I have become all things to all men, was he talking about fitting in with the world? I've written an article in the latest Issues Etc. journal titled, All Things to All Men. You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues Etc. journal. Just click the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. You can also read Pastor David Wan's story of failing to find Lutheran theology in several Lutheran churches, but finding it in Scripture and the Lutheran Confessions, the free online Issues Etc. journal.
LCMS Disaster Response provides guidance and assistance to congregations who seek to proclaim the gospel and show mercy in the wake of disasters. We can bring capacity to your congregation through on-site assessment, volunteer training and congregation preparedness, and through grants direct to your congregation. For more information, follow us on Facebook, keyword LCMS Disaster Response, or visit our website at lcms.org/disaster. That's lcms.org/disaster.
We're supported by listeners like you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Pilgrim Lutheran, Santa Monica, California. Emmanuel Lutheran, Terre Haute, Indiana. Trinity Lutheran, San Angelo, Texas. Trinity Lutheran and Emmanuel Lutheran, Holloway, Minnesota. St. John Lutheran, Schaumburg, Illinois. Our Savior Lutheran, Pipestone, Minnesota. Real Lutheran Fellowship, Rochester, Minnesota. Living Word Lutheran Church, The Woodlands, Texas. St. James Lutheran, Logansport, Indiana. St. John's Lutheran, State Center, Iowa, and Trinity Lutheran, West Chicago, Illinois. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Tuesday afternoon, we're responding to an evangelical cliche, there's a God-shaped hole in your heart. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is our guest. He's host of a video series called Grappling with the Text. Brian, tell us a little bit about this.
We've been trying to figure out for a little while how to take some of the Bible study content that we're doing here at Hope. We have a bunch of Bible studies, and and make them available for people. So we put a video camera just looking down at the desk, and we take our Tuesday morning Bible study and reduce an hour and a half down into 10 minutes. The Fisk, Jonathan Fisk, and the guys over at Worldview Everlasting said, hey, let's make it part of our stuff that we got here. So if you go to Worldview Everlasting, you can see the new series. We put them out on Wednesdays, Grappling with the Text. It's a 12-minute Bible study. We started on the book of Proverbs, and it's been a fun project so far.
You will find a link to Grappling with the Text under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. So what's the solution proposed in evangelicalism? If my problem is that God made me with a deficiency, he made me with a God-shaped hole there that only he can fill, what is the evangelical solution to that problem of incompleteness? What is the evangelical supposed to do when he's told that there's a God-shaped hole in his heart?
Well, the basic thing that you do is you got to invite Jesus into your heart. You know, it's like look, there's a plug. You got a hole in the heart, and you need to plug it. And Jesus is the plug, so you got to put him in there. And the way you put the plug in is by inviting him, because he's a gentleman. He's not going to force himself on you, and all these other cliches that we've talked about. So you got to invite Jesus in. But the whole thing is wrong from the get-go, because who ever told you that the idea of life is for you to be complete and satisfied? I mean, Paul. We were reading 2 Corinthians the other day, and Paul talks about the exact opposite of this, where he says, "Look, we're hungry, we're starving, we're beaten, we're whipped, we're dragged around everywhere, bearing about in our bodies the marks of Christ." I mean, the Christian life is not one of kind of self-satisfaction. It's a life of the cross. It's a life of suffering. And Jesus now comes to us in the midst of suffering and says, hey, I'm going to satisfy you and give you whatever you want, or this sort of thing. He says, no, look, I'm going to give you myself and all of the gifts that I've won for you on the cross, not so that you can be satisfied, but because I love you. The intent is not to satisfy our desires. In fact, a lot of times the Lord will call out our sinful desires and say, repent of your sinful desires. And he changes our desires so that what we want in the end is him and his goodness and his mercy, and then he gives that to us. So the whole thing is wrong-headed. I heard someone talking about, the four spiritual laws, which are kind of the basic doctrine of the evangelical church, by Bill Bright and the Campus Crusade. And the first law of the four spiritual laws is God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. And the sinner looks at that and says, well, hey, that's great, because I love me too, and I've got a wonderful plan for my life too. Me and God are on the same page here. He's got a wonderful plan. I've got a wonderful plan. Now let's work it out together. But that is not the Christian gospel. The gospel is that we repent of ourselves, our sin, our wicked desires, not even the sins that we commit, but even our sinfulness. And then in spite of our sin, the Lord comes to us with his mercy and kindness and forgives our sins.
Okay, what does the evangelical do if he's been told, you have a God-shaped hole in your heart, now go put Jesus in there, and then you'll finally be complete? What does the evangelical do some months, years later when he says, I still feel like there might be a bit of a hole there?
Yeah, that's right. It is one of the marks of evangelicalism that it just doesn't have a place for suffering. I mean, when you read the Bible and you read about the Christian life, it's always about suffering. Take up your cross and follow me, says Jesus. I mean, it's suffering from beginning to end. Jesus is our example in that he suffered, says Peter. So we rejoice in suffering, Paul says, and James and Peter all talk about joy and suffering. But the evangelical, because it's about relationship and emotional satisfaction, has no place for suffering. And when suffering comes along, it's really a crisis point for the evangelical. And oftentimes they plunge over to despair. They kind of rededicate their life to Christ to try to find that emotional high again. Or they fall off the wagon into unbelief altogether. Well, God, I tried this God thing and it didn't make me happy. Well, it's not supposed to make you happy. That's not what Jesus died for, to make you happy. He died to make you forgiven, to make you holy. And if you can't be happy with that, then whatever it is that makes you happy is broken.
So it's built into the system and then into the cliche, this notion of satisfaction, which by our very nature, insofar and as long as we're still sinners, we will not even find the good gifts of God, even his divine gifts of forgiveness and things like that, emotionally satisfying. But if you make that your goal, you have set up the individual believer for complete disappointment in this false promise. Talk about
right,
that.
Right, and it fits perfectly into the world. I mean, for some reason, the world now has determined that the thing that should rule and reign in our lives is our own emotions and feelings, is our desires and our satisfaction. You're supposed to do what feels right, if you want it, or if you love it enough, or whatever, it's supposed to be good. We've put our desires and our emotional completeness above the idea of good and evil, and we've made good or evil the thing that fits into what satisfies us most. Everything is upside down. And this idea that God, there's a God-shaped hole in my heart, is simply a way of making that pagan idea that whatever is good is what makes me happy now sound a little bit Christian. But the whole thing's backwards. The whole thing is upside down. This is why the 9th and 10th commandments tell us, this is amazing to most people, that the 9th and 10th commandments say that we can want the wrong thing. You know, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. If you covet your neighbor's house, if you desire his house, your desires are wrong. And we realize that when we start to realize that the things that we want and the things that we desire are broken, that even our desires need to be forgiven, then we realize that it's not a Christ-shaped hole in our heart. We then realize that out of the heart flows every evil desire, covetousness and adultery and murder and sin and every sort of thing wicked, that it's not a matter of plugging the hole with Jesus. It's a matter of Jesus standing in under God's wrath for me so that in baptism he can give me a new heart, a new spirit, a new hope, a heart that's cleansed by his blood, his death and resurrection.
So finally, with about a minute here, what's the best way to respond to the God-shaped hole cliche? About 30 seconds here.
Yeah, I think probably the best thing to say is that not only am I a sinner, and therefore through and through, but my heart itself is the origin of all sorts of sin. And when it comes to Jesus and the forgiveness of sins, I'm not trying to plug Jesus into the sinful hole in my heart. I'm relying on Jesus to completely replace my heart, to give me a new heart, and to make me want the things that he wants to give, like forgiveness and mercy and kindness, so that when we delight ourselves in the Lord, then he gives us the desires of our heart. When we want Jesus and his mercy, then we are at last satisfied.
Pastor Brian Wolf Miller is pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado. Brian, thanks for being our guest.
You got it.
One of the things that remains, perhaps the only real law that remains in a lot of evangelicalism, is that 10% tithe. Is there a better way? Is there a Lutheran way of Christian stewardship? Yes, there is. You'll find Bible studies, research, newsletters, articles, bulletin sentences, prayers, and many other stewardship resources at lcms.org/stewardship. lcms.org/stewardship. Find out more there. lcms.org/stewardship. When we come back, it's Issues Etc. Reformation Week on this Tuesday afternoon. We'll spend an hour talking about the challenges to Lutheranism, past and present, today, rationalism. Dr. Martin Noland will be our guest. Stay tuned.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Trinity Orchard Farm is settled between two rivers, showing the way to the water of life. for worship that is reverent, relevant, and refreshing like pure water, or for excellent education in a unique setting, check out our church and school. We're just 5 miles north of Highway 370 on Highway 94 in St. Charles County. Visit us on the web at trinityorchardfarm.com. That's trinityorchardfarm.com. Our phone number is 636-250-3350.
Lutheran Talk.
In Lutheranism, I come as a guilty sinner in need of hearing the forgiving words of Christ every single time I gather. Every single time.
Lutheran Music. The new Lutheran Public Radio app. Download for iPhone, Android, Windows Phone, and Kindle at issuesetc.org.